Across the firegrounds of New South Wales and Victoria yesterday, what surprised many residents and holidaymakers was the speed and ferocity of the fire fronts. With darkness during daylight hours and extraordinary local weather systems, the unusual conditions were being generated by the fires themselves. This bushfire season has also seen more so-called fire thunderstorms, a phenomenon that's relatively recent and triggers more extreme fires. Jason Sharples is a researcher at the Bushfire and Natural Hazards Cooperative Research Centre. He's also a volunteer firefighter since 2003, and he joins us this morning from Canberra. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Cathy.
Jason, some of these fires travelled so fast yesterday. Did the speed and ferocity surprise you as a fire researcher?
They were incredibly fast. I mean, the thing about these fires is they're so massive. As you said, they generate their own weather systems. And so, you know, when that starts to happen, all the traditional ways of being able to predict how these fires might spread sort of go out the window. And so you can get surprised very easily, yeah.
Can you explain to us the science here? How does a fire generate its own weather?
Well, I mean, it's essentially that the fire is so massive that the plume takes on characteristics of a thunderstorm. You get hot air coming from the plume, it rises up, will start to condense once it hits a certain level in the atmosphere. If it sort of goes higher, it starts to form ice. That's where you start to get, you know, thunder and lightning being generated. And essentially your fire plume becomes a thunderstorm in its own right.
I was in Canberra in 2003 for the bushfires there, and that was the first time I became aware that a fire could create its own weather system, as you explain. So we've known this for some time, but are we seeing something different this year?
It's probably the amount that we're seeing. These sorts of events, we've been monitoring them around the world at least since about 1998, when international researchers started to get interested in them. There was certainly events that would have happened in the past, but since we've been monitoring them since about the start of the century, and particularly this year with the number of them is quite mind-boggling.
And when you talk about the number of them being mind-boggling, I mean, how much of an increase are we seeing this year compared to what we would normally expect?
Well, I think probably the record number of ones we had for a given day was back in 2003 in the Canberra fires. We had 5 in a single day. I lost count the other day at about 12, so significantly more.
When you say the other day, do you mean yesterday?
That was the 30th, yeah.
And we also hear about tornadoes. Is that the correct terminology? If it's not, what are they?
There's sort of two things that can happen. One, you can actually get a genuine tornado, like what happens in the US tornado belt. You have really intense supercell thunderstorms, which can generate tornadoes, which are big whirls essentially attached to the thunderstorm itself. We had one of those in 2003 in Canberra. The other thing that you get, which are more common, are fire whirls. They can be very large, very powerful, but they're attached to the hot ground.
And we earlier this week, in that tragic fire where the firefighter was killed in Albury in New South Wales, we saw a tornado blamed for basically lifting an 8-ton fire truck and flipping it. It suggests there's extraordinary power within these tornadoes.
Yeah, well, I mean, these fire whirls can actually, generate very strong tornado strength winds, and you can actually, look at the impacts they're having in terms of the scales they use to describe tornadoes. So, there was a very similar event actually in California in 2018 in the car fire, where they estimated it was a EF3, which is a very powerful tornado, 165 mile per hour winds in these things.
We also heard about a report, I thought it was 14 metres, but actually I was corrected on air by one of the fire controllers who said it was 14 kilometre plumes in the air.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, that's typically how high thunderstorms are reaching when they form. They go all the way up and hit the top of the troposphere, which is where we have all our weather. And depending on the day, that can be anywhere between, 12, 15 kilometres high.
So clearly these make fire grounds just much more dangerous, not only for residents but also firefighters. Do we need to change the way that we approach these fires now?
Well, I mean, the way I sort of describe them to people is I say, think about a thunderstorm, a really bad thunderstorm where you've got, you know, winds going all over the place and rain sheeting and hail and all that sort of thing. Take out the rain and the hail and replace it with embers, and that's kind of the sort of event that you're looking at. So really there's not a lot you can do in terms of firefighting. The best you can probably hope for is finding a defendable house as a firefighter and protecting it, but you know, in terms of engaging the fire itself, it's too dangerous. The best guidance we can give to crews is really not to be caught in the way of one of these things.
But how predictable are they? I mean, certainly that wasn't the case in Albury this week, where they weren't able to get away from it.
Well, they're incredibly difficult to predict. I mean, you know, we have reasonably good prediction if we're just talking about a thunderstorm and it's, you know, by itself. These things are generated by the fire interacting with the atmosphere to generate a thunderstorm. So, you know, the fact that you've got the fire there increases the uncertainty around the prediction of these things immensely. We're getting better at understanding what drives these events, and as we improve the science around these sorts of events, the prediction will get better. But yeah, I mean, as I said, the number of events we had yesterday on the 30th was just overwhelming.
Were you able to get a sense about what happened yesterday then on the New South Wales south coast and around East Gippsland?
So yesterday, New Year's Eve, there were another couple of pyrocumulonimbus or fire thunderstorm events. So again, you know, the same level of unpredictability and intensity and all the rest, just like we had the day before.
So given the unpredictability of this, I mean, how do firefighters even manage this sort of threat then? Do we need to rethink the way we're fighting fires, these big fires?
Really, when we get a good idea that one of these things are going to happen, the standard response is to just, you know, issue a safety alert, make crews on the ground aware that, you know, the fire can suddenly transition to a very unpredictable form of behaviour. And yeah, again, just sort of saying, well, you don't want to really be trying to tackle one of these things head on. They're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to put these things out with fire trucks. You're best just to get out of their way.
And Jason, just very briefly, but I want to ask you this question. Is future climate change going to make these fire weather incidents more intense and unpredictable?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and you know, the research we've done suggests that, you know, from what we understand is driving these things, climate change is going to make all of those drivers worse. So, yes, unfortunately, you can expect to see these things increase in frequency into the future.
Jason Chapples, thank you very much for coming on to explain some of this for us this morning.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks.
Jason Chapples is from the Bushfire Natural Hazards Cooperative Research Centre. He's a professor at the University of New South Wales School of Science.